This is To Your Health with Dr. Chad Kingsley, Mojave County Public Health Director, and Roger Galloway. To Your Health keeps you informed on all the health issues facing our country. Be healthy. Stay healthy. Here's To Your Health.
Welcome to Your Health. And here we are, the month of December 2023, the final month of the year, of course, as we head into 2024. And we thought it might be very interesting to talk a little bit about the year as far as the county health department is concerned and what it's accomplished. And Dr. Chad Kingsley, of course, is here to get into that a little bit. And we've kind of divided it up into the different areas here. First of all, just so people know, how large is the county health department as far as the people that work in it?
So, you know, it's fluctuated through the years. Looking back historically, I've seen it up to 150 employees, 260. Currently, we sit around 70 employees.
Is that enough?
It's as lean as we can be on almost every single place. You know, so we are operating as lean as we can on all points for it, as best we can, as conservatively as we can. There are challenges to running that lean. You know, succession, if somebody leaves or somebody goes on a two-week vacation, you know, because they earned it. You know, if they go on a cruise or a family trip or something like that, like vital records, we have one person there. And she's gone, she knows how to do everything. So it takes three or four of us to manage her one position. But when we're managing her position, we're not doing our position. So there's challenges, but we're operating lean. We're able to make it work, you know, and we're trying to use our taxpayer dollars and everything that, you know, the services that we provide to the public as conservatively and appropriately as possible.
Now, there is a hiring freeze in the county, but if you have certain positions that are in place already and somebody leaves, you still can hire somebody to replace that individual.
Yes, because it's already budgeted. It's already, you know, for our budget. And also, my department runs about between 60 to 70% on grants. Mm-hmm. So we don't pull a lot from the general fund. So a lot of our positions, when they leave, they're grant funded. So we're able just to go ahead and rehire. So majority of those during the hire freeze, all of them actually we've had, have been through our grants. So.
And most of the people that work in the health department, they work in Kingman, right, as opposed to working in Bullhead City or Lake Havasu?
Not necessarily. You know, we try to make sure we're available. So that's the interesting thing about with public health. And so when there's a public health county by ARS law, so we are mandated to have a public health department. Each county is mandated to have that. And so the authority given from that is to make sure that the means are being met for preserving and protecting health in our communities. And so when there is a county health department, we also are responsible for the cities. So our incorporated cities, while there are some maneuvering where they can have some type of health, we really, that's the one thing. The county and the cities are separate, right? They have their own separate governments. But we're kind of that bridge on some points there. We are also the city's health department on a lot of points. Now, the city does have their public works and different things that they do, but we do step in, you know, we do function within the cities as well. So we do comprehensively, overwise, help the county and the cities perform. And that would be restaurant inspections to, environmental health, to our nursing services. Mm-hmm. So we do have offices, satellite offices, both in Lake Havasu City, Colorado City, and Bullhead City, as well as Kingman. So I would say about 40, some of our employees are here, and about 30 are out in our satellite offices.
And as far as the county health department is concerned, do you work a great deal on a day-to-day directly with the city health departments or no?
So the cities don't have health departments, but we do, you know, and that's been one focus of me, making sure that I have met with the cities. I go to the Tri-City Council meetings, you know, make myself available. But it's definitely room for growth. That's one area of growth I can see is, you know, is really participating more with the cities where they need us to participate, you know, and stuff, and where we can help out, or if it's campaigns or things to that effect, you know. Overall, you know, just making sure we're all on the same page and being able to work together well.
All right. How long have you been the county health director now?
About 17 months.
Okay. Yeah. So a little over a year, and you stepped in replacing Denise Burley, who had mm-hmm. been here for some time.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, looking at this past year in 2023, do you feel comfortable? Do you feel good about what was accomplished and what was done?
Yeah, I do. You know, we had a tuberculosis response that, you know, as textbooks as it could go. We had a great response to that, and from start to finish, and even continuing with it, you know, we've been able to offer our employees stability and helping them, you know, in their careers and progress, and also help them provide the services out to the community. And meeting those needs, we've been able to keep up on all our services and provide them appropriately to our community members in a timely and promptly manner. And overall, you know, kind of, I won't say recover, but, you know, it was a tough few years there during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, and really focusing on what does Mojave County need, you know, and so, and servicing those needs, you know, that's the thing is yes, you know, some people have strong opinions about what other cities do and such things, but our focus is what does Mojave County need and what's the residents, you know, need for public health.
When you talk about what does Mojave County need, it's rural county,
yep.
Of course. Are those needs quite different from Pima County or Maricopa County with the big cities?
They definitely are. You know, we're also growing economically. But we have a larger 55 and older population. We have a retirement. We have the national average for veterans, you know, is about 8%. We have 14% here, so we have almost double of the nation of veterans here on those points. And then we have rural areas, you know, a good portion of our populace out there. And so one of those things, you know, we've spoken of before, but the mobile health unit,
yeah,
you know, so we've started. We're about, you know, where we visit. All our rural counties, our rural communities, where we go and we have that presence, you know, and they're starting to know that we come on this day of the month and we're here, you know, and we've been doing screenings, a lot of screenings, and it's actually
what kind of screenings?
So we do cholesterol, we do blood pressure, we do, you know, and basically any of those screenings that can say like, hey, we're noticing this is high. We would like to refer you to a doctor. And we've had a few cases, you know, where the blood pressure was, would you like us to call 911 for you? You know,
yeah.
No, I feel fine. Yeah, I completely. Are you sure you would like us to be able to call, you know? And so we're finding that out in the communities. So it's really starting that process of getting out there and building that relationship with them. So we do have to approach things differently and making sure those needs are met and helping people be healthy.
Is it kind of true that in a rural county there's also more trepidation, more uneasiness about dealing directly with doctors and nurses that you would find in the urban city and the large cities, or no?
I would say no for healthcare. I think we're just all in the same boat. I think with rural, the challenge is that you have to get to those doctors, you know. So where do you go? So I do see a lot of our communities, they will access healthcare here. But for certain things, they go to Phoenix. They go down to the Phoenix or metropolitan area to access their specialist for cardiac or for their endocrinologist for diabetes or those specialists. Their day-to-day routine, they do manage here well. Or they go to our neighboring state if their insurance is there. You know, they'll go to Nevada. They go to Clark County for certain health cares or testings that they need. So they do reach out. I don't see as much, you know, we have great doctors here, but sometimes we just have a shortage. So they do have to go out, and it goes into the same problems as everyone. Healthcare, you know, plans, what my plan covers, what's available. I think we're all across the nation in that same predicament.
All right.
Yeah.
Looking at what we talked about at the very beginning and the division of these different sections of the health department, what you do, let's look at nursing.
Yeah.
How has that gone?
Great. Nursing services is, you know, we've had a one previous where we spoke about tuberculosis, and we had the nursing services manager, Lynn Valentine, here with us, and she gave a great presentation on tuberculosis. But nursing is doing well, you know, with our immunization providing. We have, again, in each Bullhead, Lake Havasu City, and Kingman, we offer a clinic that somebody can come in for, you know, tuberculosis, for immunization, for any of their sexual health on testing. And they're doing great. We, you know, we have a maternal child health start system that helps provide guidance to mothers that are expecting or with children up to age 1 or 2, be able to provide them guidance and resources, as well as, you know, any of these overall. And they also help us with our epidemiology. And the nurses were key in responding to our rabies cases. You know, we've had them both in bobcats. And the first, you know, we had them bobcats. Well, started in foxes and then bobcats. And previously they had only been in bats, so, you know, it was a new part. But the nurses, you know, I can't speak enough of them, how well they handled those situations. You know, while we don't handle the wild animals, we handle the people side of it. You know, so
sure.
but we stepped in to make sure to bridge those with Arizona Game and Fish, as well as our sheriff's department with animal control, as well as our local vets. You know, we could sit there and say, you know what, we just deal with a human component, but my nurses went above and beyond. You know, they spoke with Arizona Game and Fish. They spoke with all the other departments to make sure everything was happening for that person. So, you know, they did amazing year. So they're doing well.
Have there been any human cases of rabies?
There has not so far. So, you know, but it's there hasn't. There hasn't been a human case in a good while. It is fatal, so that's why we are very proactive on it. So, yeah.
But if you get it, I mean, there is treatment, of course.
Yeah, no, so it's preventative. You know, once you have it, there's nothing you can do. There's no treatment for it, so it's preventative. So you have to know if you've been exposed, you have to be treated. You have to get the immunization for
it. Gotcha.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
In environmental health.
Yeah.
All right, that's a big one.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one, you know, and most of the challenge with public health is, you know, it's a thankless job because we never get thanked for that mosquito bite that you don't get. You know, or we never get thanked for, you know, not getting sick when you go out to eat. But so environmental health, they have done an amazing year. They've been able to, you know, manage. They've kept up almost to 98 to 100% of meeting all inspections. So, you know, so for any food establishment or food truck, they have to be inspected twice a year. You know, and it's not scheduled. Mm-hmm. And so it's a surprise visit while they're operating, and they show up and they do an inspection of how they're performing food and, you know, how they're preparing and how they're delivering food and making sure that they're delivering it within the means correct that does not cause any type of disease or, you know, or food contamination or other things. And so they have kept up on all their hospitals. I mean, I said hospitals, sorry, restaurants. And being able to deliver those services, they've managed well. We have some amazing registered sanitarians. You know, we also inspect hotels. We also inspect pools.
There are a lot of hotels and motels around out there.
Yep.
How often do you visit an individual hotel? Once a year or?
I believe it's also twice a year.
Twice
you know, they
year.
Do have to, and pools. So same thing, you know, as pools, that deals with humans. So we have to make sure that the chlorine and it is being properly treated, any of the public pools. You know, so if a hotel has a pool, it has to be inspected as well. But any of the community pools, you know, so that they are adequately being treated with the chemicals they need to kill anything, that so that, mm-hmm. you know, so humans aren't exposed to any of those things that we transmit. But they do that, and there's a lot of hotels, there's a lot of pools, but, you know, we have a whole year, and we divide it up, and month by month, mm-hmm. we have seen an increase in restaurants, so we've seen some business growing here, so mm-hmm. it's been a good sign, too, we've seen that. Mobile units, you know, it's a new thing that's kind of the mm-hmm. fad that everything's going on. They've done well managing with them, you know, there's some, it's a change, and so people are struggle with change. On some points, but it's a, you know, it's a different type of business model, and some people do great out of it, and some of them don't. But we work with them on those points. So.
When you look at a food truck, for example, if you show up and you see multiple very serious violations, can you shut them down right then and there at that moment? Or
yes, we can. You know, we've never had to do that, and so our restaurant owners and our mobile unit owners, they do a great job. You know, they know the rules. They know the food handler law and such things. So our goal is never to shut anybody else. Our goal is to help them be successful.
Gotcha. Right.
You know, our goal is we're not going out and looking to, you know, like, oh, we've got to shut you down. So we've never taken that step. So what our registered sanitarians and our inspectors do is to provide those opportunities so they can be successful. And so if we see there are violations, you know, we see these violations, what are you going to do to correct them? Then we come back and check up. And all our restaurants, they're compliant. They do what they need to. Like, okay, yes, we're going to step up and mm-hmm. we do this in the correction. So our goal is never to do that. It's just, but obviously the authority is there
in case.
And if it is so egregious and it is causing that much harm or immediate harm, or there's something, then that is, that option is there. But we've never had to take it just because we have great people here in Mojave County. So
this may seem like a kind of a strange question, but is our county overall relatively healthy compared to other counties in the state? Does it have bigger problems, more substantial problems, or less?
You know, it's so every 3 years we perform a community health assessment where we go out, where we're just starting the process again. And the last one is online. And certain things, yes, we are healthier, and other things we're not. So, you know, it's there's not one button to push on it to say, like, yes, you know, we excel. On certain points, there's definitely improvement. You know, we have lung cancer, which is more significant than most. Usually it's breast cancer and colon cancer that becomes before lung cancer, but lung cancer is number one for us. So
has that been true for many years?
Yeah, that has. You know, so we have our smoking cessation, but we also have a lot of dust. We also have, you know, different particles in the air and stuff that we monitor. Our diabetes, our, you know, overall health, because we have less access to health care because of our rural communities. We do tend to have more comorbidities from diabetes to high blood pressure, you know, so we're working to identify that. And we have less access to healthcare. You know, as we mentioned earlier, we do have to go to other communities for our specialists. And but at the same time, you know, our local hospitals within our cities are doing a great job, you know, doing the best job they can. We just have doctor shortages here and there. But
is that acute?
So I would say, you know, on being able, I would say if I had to give a grade, and we're going to look at you know, I give us maybe a B minus or a B, you know, and stuff, and where we're at. Can we improve? We definitely have room. We definitely want to work towards A, improving, but that also, you know, bringing in healthcare and those efforts. And it also takes, you know, an individual too, you know, so we have to work together with our communities, so. Yeah.
But it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Yeah.
And the doctor shortage, you say, is that true with nurses as well? Is there a nurse shortage?
You know, MCC does have a nursing program, and they're working towards that. But across the nation, it's just not us. You know, we're having a nursing shortage as well as a teacher shortage. So our professionals. So what do we need to do as a community to bring those professionals here? You know, so it's part of economic development, you know, and everything. And that's, again, that's the silent thing of public health, right, is that if we are a healthier community, that means less people are not calling in sick to work or less people are not using their health care. So there is there's an unseen economic impact to public health. If we're healthier, then our businesses do better. We're more stable with our income, you know, with our longevity, with, you know, saving for our retirement and those things. So public health, again, that's our goal, to increase the longevity and the well-being of our residents so that they're able to work, take care of their kids, you know, take care of their parents, have that process, and that it has an economic impact. When we see health decrease, then we also see economic go down as well, too.
So. Hasn't that taken place across the country? Hasn't the lifespan gone down a couple of years?
It has.
Yeah.
You know, it has. So they're starting to see it. I believe they dropped it down over 2 to 3 years of the lifespan going down, the longevity. You know, again, it's you would love to find the smoking gun, in a sense, one thing, but it's, you know, it's many different factors, you know, that plays into it. So.
Yeah, gotcha. Community health.
Yeah. So community health is where a lot of our grants are at. There is the WIC component, and that is for women, infant, and children, you know, that we help provide. It's a federal program that helps provide, you know, assistance to those families in which they need. You know, and I would say out there, too, you know, we are seeing a lot of grandparents having to help, starting to raise some of their grandchildren, you know, because of certain challenges, some because of the opioid crisis, or sometimes just because of work. You know, both parents have to work, and so grandparents, sometimes they help raise their grandchildren, you know, and they don't consider that those assistance is made for them. You know, I was just told an amazing story. We have, her name is Lorena. Her name's Lorena, and she's worked here. And she worked over here like 40 years ago in the health department. She started out in WIC, and she's a nutritionist and a registered dietitian. And she's come back to her, you know, in her latter years now. She told this amazing story that she had a very hard day. You know, it was just one, just those days. You know, you can't please anybody. Everyone's coming in challenge. And she had somebody walk in. She said, you know, she said, it's affected me my whole life. And they walked in, and she was already kind of grumpy, you know, and she was had a hard day, and she's speaking with her, and she's trying to help her. And she goes, ma'am, you don't understand. I'm here to turn back the money. You know, you were there for me when I had no other choices. My kids were not going to be fed. I had no other choices. And because we found you, you made it. We've gotten over that phase. We can now, you know, we're both stable. We have our income. I want to give the money back for somebody else to help them. And she told that story recently, you know, and it does. That's what those programs are there for when you don't have anywhere else to turn, you know. So WIC is when those it's also a challenge to fund and do correctly and everything, but it is an amazing program that provides those opportunities for individuals that find life challenges are getting to be too much. But in our health promotion, we have tobacco cessation program. We have, you know, overall health of our community. We're in our schools. We have gardening programs, help people to help, you know, eat healthier and nutrition. We have our senior programs, you know, that's got a lot of attention over the last year, but working to increase and make sure that our seniors are met. And there we have the, you know, the congregate meals as well as the Meals on Wheels program. And then we also have our opioid program, which is providing education and interventions to help people that deal with substance abuse, you know, help them to be able to progress out of that on those points. And then and so we have a variety of those programs, but they're out there in the community. They, you know, they go out there, they educate, they're part of where they can be, where schools or community-based programs to be able to be out there and make a difference, make an impact in somebody's life.
You talked about some of these different programs that you have and everything. Some of them are taken care of financially by grants that you get from federal grants. Do you get a number of those each year that are totally expected, or some come out of nowhere?
Some come out of nowhere. Some are, you know, it's so public health is always – we're grant-based on a lot of points. Sometimes it's federal, sometimes it's the state.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of times it is the state. So we work with Arizona Department of Health Services. And, you know, so they receive money as well as they receive federal monies, too, as well. You know, it's a trickle-down portion that we need to meet those needs, you know. And so it depends a lot, you know, what's affecting our communities health-wise. And so we're always analyzing where we're at. So sometimes something that, you know, in the past was a challenge, like tuberculosis 40 years ago was a big challenge, you know, and now it's not. So, but it could be again, you know, so it just depends. Money is going to always change where it goes. And so we'll see that as, you know, as something, you know, it kind of happens organically. It's interesting, you know, it's like the media will put something out, you know, we see this happening and then it'll get more people start talking. It'll take a year or two. Then we see like, oh, it's a big problem. You know, so if you look at the opioid abuse problem, you know, there wasn't a lot of funding in it. There wasn't a lot of prevention methods, but then it kind of overtook us, you know, then suddenly people are overprescribed, you know, or it moves to the fentanyl or opioids on the street, you know, illicit from even, you know, prescribed. And it took us, you know, and then a lot of times is we're reacting to a problem, you know. So sometimes we do our preventive. We love to be prevent the problems. But sometimes you don't have the money to prevent, you know. So a lot of times when an issue comes up, it's been happening for a few years. And then
opioids.
Yeah, like opioids. And now we're getting funding for it, you know, and to hopefully prevent. And it's generational. So a lot of what we do today is the 10, 20 years down the road. You know,
so
10, 20 years down the road, we don't know the problems we're going to have, but the ones we're trying to prevent right now, we'll prevent those, and then something else might happen. So it's always depends where the money's at, and so we tend to have to kind of follow that. So
you're almost always a little bit behind the problem, though.
We are.
For obvious reasons.
Points.
Getting the money that you need, et cetera, comes a little too late, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, we see that in behavior health, opioid. The other stuff that we do know, you know, that's prevention, is just blood pressures, you know. Blood pressure, obesity, those things that we can do to be able to curtail that. So, yeah.
All right. And the administrative, we're talking about opioids already a little bit. You mentioned medical examiner.
Yeah. So we have our medical examiner, which is a mandated service. So that's what you would call your end-of-life services, you know. So that's medical examiner, which, you know, in part is a little bit does crime investigation that works, you know, if there's anything that needs an autopsy. But there's also just end of life. You know, how do we manage end of life services and working with funeral homes? So we do have the contract with that and working with it. That's been since I started, but it's going well now. You know, we're working well and have progressed well on those points and being able to provide those services promptly. You know, for funerals, but any autopsies. And then we have opioids too. So administration is not only running the department, and we also help manage currently, you know, epidemiology, as well as we have our behavioral specialists, you know, and then we have our opioid monies that we're dealing with and progressing there, and then as well as our medical examiners. So managing those as well for our community. So
it's really a big job. Isn't it? I mean, really, it is.
It is. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of professionals working for you as well.
Yep.
And I mentioned it earlier, do you have enough? There's certain people, if you lost a certain five individuals on 1 week, for example, it would be really, really rough, wouldn't it?
It would be rough, you know. So, and, you know, so what we try to do is make sure one succession that when somebody retires or somebody's, you know, out, are we cross-trained? So we make sure that we have enough people that are cross-trained that if we lose suddenly five people, can we be able to cover those spots until we rehire? So that's part of, you know, that moving component of the health department to make sure that, you know, if something like that happens, we have it covered. There's challenges, but at the same time, you know, again, we have amazing people that wear many can wear because they're professionals and they've been trained. They can wear different hats, you know. So
they pretty much have to.
I want to make sure we don't ever want to burn anyone out, you know, but we want to be able to provide those continued services to our members of our community.
You're a doctor, of course. Do you feel that some of what you gain from that, being a doctor, has been very beneficial to you in this particular position?
It has been. You know, I'm able to relate. You know, I like to be out in the community. I like to meet those people, those and hear and understand. And, you know, it's part of just the training of a doctor is really to diagnose, you know, to sit there and listen to all parts, what's going on. It's just like with a person, oh, I have this, this, and this, and this. Okay, well, let's get to a diagnosis, and then let's get to a treatment. So kind of the same methodology of how you approach something, and it's assisted me a lot. So,
are you ready for 2024?
I am. I'm optimistic for it. Well, why not? You know, so that's, you know, it's easier to laugh than cry. So I hope there's laughter, and I hope there's progression, and we are ready. You know, we're going to be able to meet those things that come before us, and we've planned, and we do our best we can to prevent and to plan and to really preserve the health of our community. So.
All right. Yep. Thank you very much, Dr. Chad Kingsley, and of course, a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everyone out there listening in.
To Your Health with Dr. Chad Kingsley, Mojave County Public Health Director, and Roger Galloway. Be healthy. Stay healthy. Here's To Your Health.